Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are here with us this morning. We ask you now to open our hearts and minds. It's a very short passage that we're looking at this morning. Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 3. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth." It might be a short passage, but it's actually quite an important passage. And today, Paul's actually addressing children in how they should live in right Christian living. Last week, he looked at the relationship between wives and husbands. Today, he looks at children. It seems a bit ironic that we don't have any children with us, that this letter was written by Paul to instruct children. And the very fact that he writes to children, he assumes that when the letter's read to the Ephesian church, there are going to be children present in that congregation. And that in itself says something about the importance and the status of children in church, in contrast to their status in the Roman world in which the church existed. Because back then, children weren't important. Children were not considered to be important. We're thinking of Roman times, Roman rule. And under Roman law, a father had absolute power over his family. And he could legally sell his children as slaves, make them work in the field, chain them, punish them as he liked, even kill them. It was within the law. And children were often seen as an inconvenience rather than a blessing. And as the marriage bond frequently broke down with rapidity, children were a burden to new relationships. It's not that different from what we see today. I've got many families at school that I don't know who is whose parents. And it seems to be the new thing is that we find a new partner and we have a child. So that counts as we're married. And it's very, very difficult to keep up with some people. And in Roman society, unwanted children would be left in the forum to be picked up and then sold as slaves. So for many, the experience of childhood was actually not a good one. And it's against that secular background that Paul is addressing the children of the church in Ephesus. It says, "Children, obey your parents." It doesn't say obey them if you like what they're saying. Obey them if you have a good relationship with them. No, it's obey your parents. And it's not the only place in the Bible where children are told to obey their parents. And we had a reading from Proverbs today. And if you read through Proverbs, there's loads and loads of the Proverbs that talk about the importance of children obeying their parents. And again, in Colossians 3:20, Paul says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." And children are told to obey their parents because it's the right thing to do. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." It's the way that God has ordained it. It's the right thing to do because God has ordained that things should be this way. And it means that there's an order rather than chaos because it's God's right way. And if you think about it, if there isn't obedience, then there's the opposite, isn't there? There's disobedience. And disobedience to parents is a sign of a disintegrating social structure. But actually, obedience doesn't come naturally. You don't have a child and it automatically does what you say you want it to do. It just doesn't happen. Like most things, it has to be taught and learnt. And that's not easy for either the parent or the child. And it's probably somewhat harder for many of our Christian children because it's not the norm in today's society. And to obey, you have to be able to listen to what's being said, don't you? You can't obey something if you haven't heard it and taken it on board. So you need to be able to listen carefully, to understand what's said, and then carry it out. And one of the increasing problems we see with our pupils in school is their inability to listen. And very often it stems from the fact that they just simply don't engage in conversations with their parents. And we see many of our pupils collected by people, and the person that collects them is often on the phone talking to someone else. They're not talking to the child. Or if they do, it's not with words. One would want to repeat here. And we have an increasing number of our children entering school that need speech therapy because they're unable to communicate in any sort of sentence at all. And then we have many of our older children that don't actually communicate with words. They communicate digitally with somebody else rather than face-to-face conversations. And the ability to listen for a concentrated period of time is rapidly diminishing. And that inability to listen carefully brings with it an inability to do what's asked. And so obeying isn't easy. First of all, we've got to be able to listen, and there's a fundamental problem there. Another issue with obeying parents in society today is that some parents don't want to make their children obedient. I think a modern rewording of this passage might be, parents, obey your children, for this will keep them happy and bring you peace at home. I've often had parents in my room say things along the lines of, oh, I can't get them to bed, I can't eat this, get them to eat that, can't get them to read that book, do that homework, put those clothes on, whatever it happens to be. And it usually boils down to the fact that the child wants to be doing something else, whether it's on their iPad, playing outside, whatever it is. They want to be doing something else. And the parent doesn't want to remove the something else that they're doing because it makes it difficult. The child will have a tantrum, will throw things, will shout, whatever. And the biggest thing that we hear at the moment is, they won't be my friend. And being a parent's hard, really hard. It isn't about giving in to the child for an easy life and being their friend. You're not there to be their friend. We're there to instruct them in the way that they should go. It's about training and equipping children for life. And children need to be taught what's right and what's wrong. And that should come from learning obedience to our parents. And just as with an animal, it takes time to teach that obedience. A dog doesn't automatically obey the commands of sit, stay, come, does it? They have to be taught that. They have to be praised when they're doing it right and disciplined when they get it wrong. And it's exactly the same with children. When I was doing some research from this, I came across a story, somebody else was preaching on the passage, of his little six-year-old boy. So it was a preacher in the Dominican Republic from England. And the little boy was playing down the road, jumping on the pavement, off into the road, etc. And he was in a little world all of his own, enjoying himself, not a lot of traffic coming down there. But the father knew that there was a moped coming down, and he was able just to say to the child, stop, stand still. And he did. And moments later, the moped came down and would have knocked him over had he not done that. But because of that training in obedience, the child didn't ask the question, why am I doing it? I'm in this, I'm enjoying myself. He obeyed what his father said. And we have to teach that obedience to keep people safe, to move them forward. And it's similar with my horse has been injured this week, and because he's been in for a whole week, he was very strong to take down to the field when he was eventually done. But once we got to that field, he wanted to run off. But because he'd been trained that he had to turn round to get that head collar off, even though that wasn't what he wanted, he obeyed what I told him to do because it's taken years of training to get to that point. And training children is very hard. Training children to be obedient is hard. And it needs to be consistent. And at times, it's really, really easy to give up for the sake of a quiet life. But in the long run, it won't be beneficial to the children. And sometimes other people suffer to keep that consistent obedience. I've got a lovely lady at school. She's got five children. She's a Christian, goes to school, but her younger two twins, they're very different. One of them loves to be very disobedient. The other's like, yeah, I'll do anything. And over the summer, that she told him that it had to do whatever. And if you don't do it, we won't be going to the zoo tomorrow. And sure enough, he didn't do what he was supposed to do. But the whole family then suffered because she had to carry out that consequence of, I've said this is going to happen, so that you learn. He didn't do it again because his siblings weren't very happy either. But that is the point. It has to be consistent and fair. And then you learn that there are things. But sometimes it's not until much, much later, is it, in life, that we see the benefits of the way our parents trained us. Not at the time when we're a teenager. There's a quote from Mark Twain. He says, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in those 7 years." And sometimes it is. It's like that, isn't it? It's much later that we see with hindsight the benefit of what our parents did. And I still look back now and I'm grateful for some of those things that my parents did for me. Although at the time, it didn't feel like that at all. I was angry and rebellious and certainly didn't want to do what I was told to do or come back when I was told to. But it's only later, much later, that we realise why those things have happened. It isn't to stop our pleasure and our joy. It's to keep us safe and to train us in that right way. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on the earth." There's a difference, though, isn't there, between honouring and obeying. To obey simply means to either do or not do the thing that we're asked to do. Don't do that, do that. But to honour is about the motivation and the disposition behind the obedience. So we can do, you know, tidy our room, wash the dishes, take out the rubbish. It can be obedient, but if you're doing it grudgingly, it's not honouring. And if we're honouring to someone, then it's the motivation to do that that's out of love and respect for the person that's asking us to do it. In John 14:15, it says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." Not, you will obey what I command, but you'll do it because you love me. Because we love Jesus, we will want to do what he commands us to do. So we're told to honour our parents. And that doesn't stop when we leave home. That continues for life. And there are many people in our society that are not honoured and respected as they should be. There are many parents who never see their children, and many children, grown-up children, who don't actually have time for their parents, don't have time to give them the honour and respect that's due. Matthew 15 says, Jesus replied, "Why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honour your father and mother, And anyone who curses his father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, then they are not to honour their father or mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. And if children are to honour their parents for life, then that needs to be taught from a young age. And that's only taught by the way that we teach anything. We teach children to speak by imitating what we see. They will be taught to honour by imitating how we treat them. By the way parents treat their own parents and older relatives will be an example to children. By the way that rewards and sanctions are administered fairly and justly by parents, they'll see that they've been treated with respect. And it's a two-way thing. To honour someone, you need to be treated with respect. And then there's this promise at the end, isn't there? Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Now, the promise doesn't necessarily mean that everyone who honours and obeys their parents will lead a long and happy life, and everyone who's disobedient will live a short, miserable life. And I'm sure everyone here can think of counterexamples to that. However, it's the general principle that holds true. So if children are obedient and honouring, and they're obedient to the right teachings of their parents, then they're less likely to indulge in wrong practices, I don't know, such as drugs, gangs, crime. Those things that would shorten their lives. However, life isn't always measured by the quantity of time, but by the quality of experience. And God will bless obedience no matter how long life is on earth. Sin robs us, obedience enriches us. Sin robs us, obedience enriches us. Learning to honour and obey parents when we're younger will also help us to learn to honour and obey God as we grow older. And although we may still rebel at times, if we're in a right relationship with God, then as a loving Father, He will discipline us so that we are obedient, and through that obedience, He will bless us. And so we all have a part to play, whether or not we're parents. Being a parent, I think, is one of the hardest jobs in the world to do well. And there will be times when all parents get it wrong. So we all have a duty to make sure that we constantly pray for parents, that they'll know how to parent as God intended. And we need to pray that the children in church will act differently to the children in the world by the way in which they honour and obey their parents. And we, no matter how old we are and how busy we are, we need to honour our parents for life. Let us pray.